is Four State Focus. News Radio 930 WFMD talks to newsmakers throughout Frederick and surrounding counties.
And welcome into the show. I am your host, Ryan Hedrick, and I am pleased to be joined by Michael Blue, a Frederick County Council member. Michael has been on the show before, but lots to go over. We have budget, we have police accountability to talk about, ongoing COVID response from the Frederick County government. But I do want to start with the Amazon deal, the story that broke this week that was in the Frederick News Post and then reported by our Kevin McManus and Nate Saunders. Amazon deal to bring Amazon data warehouses here kind of fell off. Michael, I know you really can't talk about this in depth or at all because there's a non-disclosure agreement in place, but let's talk about the climate of Frederick County and what it's like to do business here. What are the challenges of doing business? And by the way, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Ryan. Thanks for having me. There are rewards and challenges in the business climate, the community here in Frederick. Our Office of Economic Development and Helen Profiter have done a wonderful job attracting these businesses, these larger corporations. And what people don't realize is that there's businesses and large corporations like Amazon looking at Frederick County all the time. They're looking all over the world, actually all over the United States, and a lot of them want to do it with discretion. And so, we have to recognize that and respect that. But Frederick County is really a location that a lot of people want to locate to. Our biosciences, our IT, it is one of the best places for businesses to come to in the country.
Now, when I tell you that there are business leaders in this community that have soured on the climate and the culture of business, as a business guy yourself, and part of the reason I brought you on today is because you know what it takes to run a business. Not only do you legislate, but you run a day-to-day business in this community. So when I tell you that people have soured on or are angry at Frederick County for the past week's news, which I guess is kind of old news, but what are your thoughts and feelings, both as a legislator and a business owner?
As a business owner, I see Frederick County as being one of the best places and has the best, I think, helpful environment to actually thrive and succeed. I own a small business in Walkersville, and whenever I need help, whether it's permitting, it's there. I really don't find that much of a problem. I understand in the last week or so with individuals negatively speaking about us losing or Frederick County not capturing or not taking advantage of this huge opportunity, but there are so many more opportunities that we have taken advantage of, and we will continue to do that. And I can't speak to the Amazon reporting and whether it's true or not. The only thing I can say is there's a lot more to that story than anybody knows. And when and if that ever comes out, people will think differently about what's going on here in Frederick County.
When an entity like a county council, and I'm speaking in pure hypothetical terms, not directly to the Amazon reports, but when there's a deal like this on the table and there's negotiations in place, what is it in general, Michael, that people don't understand about how tense negotiations can go and what one side may want versus what another side needs?
Well, it is quite a negotiation. It's a give and take. There are considerations not only on the local county level but on the state level. A lot of times, businesses and larger organizations, corporations that want to come here actually are being, they're kind of being, in. The state of Maryland is really trying to get them to relocate to Maryland, and then they pick whichever county. So there's a lot more involved. I can't speak to the specifics of it, but right. Whether it's Frederick County writing a check to the city of Frederick as an economic development for them to purchase that property for the hotel, Conference Center or whether Frederick County and the state of Maryland defers taxes. It's a way to allow these businesses to get in here, get their feet, you know, planted, bring, you know, well-paying jobs to the community, increase the tax revenue of the property that they own, and then the improvements. I mean, look at Kite Pharma down in Urbana. That's a perfect example of the state of Maryland and the county coming together to get a company of that size here in Frederick County.
You're listening to the Four State Focus Show. Our guest today is Frederick County Council Member Michael Blue. He's not only a council member, but as he alluded to minutes ago, he's a business owner in this community. He's well positioned to talk in general terms about how business goes. Let's talk about more business. You mentioned the planning center, the hotel. That drew a lot of scrutiny from one political party because the county is fronting some money to the city, about $2.5 million for the Plamondons to launch this project in the old Frederick News Post building. And this thing has been talked about for years and years. It finally seems like it's going to get off the ground, Michael.
I think it will. It's been talked about over 10 years, and the county has had multiple different positions and multiple financial exposures. This is, I think, the cleanest and the least amount that we have pledged to participate in with the city of Frederick. I think it's a good idea that they do have control over ownership of the property. It's just another economic development, you know, project for the county. And I think, you know, there have been a lot of opposition to it, but I was in support of it. And I still think it's going to be a really good thing for Frederick County and the city of Frederick.
One thing that people don't think was a good thing was the purchase of the Oak Street property for $30 million. I've been told that the property is valuable in and of itself, maybe not the building. The building needs a lot of work, Michael. I mean, you're talking about $10 million for a roof repair. Take us inside that decision for the county council to actually buy this $30-plus million piece of property.
Yes, the property was undervalued. Yes, the building itself is old and will need improvements, but it's definitely a good thing for Frederick County. I supported the purchase of that, even with the money that the county will invest into improving the facilities. It's still going to be, in the long run, a lot less expensive than to purchase land, build new. It's just going to be quite a savings for the taxpayers of Frederick County to do it the way we're doing it. And I just see it as a no-brainer for us to try to save millions and millions of dollars to do it this way, as opposed to, you know, buying new and building new.
Have we decided what we're going to be using that building for? I know there was talks about a 911 center. Is that still on the table?
Yes. I think that's most definitely going to be one of the things that are going to be there, because that was in our CIP that, you know, we were going to have to expand or build a whole new facility for the 911 call center. So now we don't have to do that. We can make improvements to the Oak Street building and house them there. The other options that were talked about are still on the table. Nothing has been finalized, but the opportunities are endless. That property, you know, even the portion of the property behind it that we could sell, but the county won't. They're going to hold on to it. It's a valuable asset, and I think it was a very prudent financial move for the county to purchase that property.
Michael Blue joining us on the Four State Focus Show. Michael is a Frederick County Council member, a business owner in this community, and you're listening to the show right here on WFMD and WFRE. You know, it's a weird year, Michael, politically, because we are facing a huge election, a lot of implications. Jan Gardner, lame duck county executive. What is it like working with a county executive that won't be here next year?
I don't see any difference in the way that I think she is governing. The relationship that I have and the council has with the executive office has been fine. It's been a very professional and I think productive environment, and I don't see desperation. I don't see I only have 8 more months. I don't see any indication that the county executive is concerned with this being her last year. I think she's concerned with the public safety of the citizens, with the COVID, response, and with trying to get now in front of us, another budget through and continue to do the operations and management of the county.
Yeah, we'll get to the budget in a moment. It's a massive budget. A lot of the budget goes to education. We'll talk about that with you because I know you had the opportunity to sit down with her for a good time. What is it that opponents of Jan Gardner, conservative Republicans, don't understand about Jan Gardner? You've had the experience of working with her now for years. You've sat down with her in closed door meetings. Of course, she has people that don't like things about her. What is it that people don't understand about Jan Gardner?
Well, I think that if you take the politics out of it, the conservative point of view as opposed to a liberal point of view, the way different perspectives are used, if you take that out of it and you look at what does this individual, what does she or he or whoever we're talking about in relationship to County Executive Gardner, if you just look at what she personally wants to do, I think you'll find that there's a lot of common ground between, a conservative like myself and a more liberal like herself, that they want to do what's best for Frederick County. We really only differ on some small areas. And for the most part, I think that people just need to look at the actual individual and give them, an opportunity to explain their perspective. But the end result is they really do want to do what's best for Frederick County. Now, yes, we come at it from different angles, but the end result is we all want to take care of the needs and do it, in as economical way as possible, because the demands on the dollars that come in are way exceed what we actually, can spend, our money on.
Yeah, in Frederick County, I mean, you guys had a $74 million surplus. Was there ever conversations about cutting taxes or giving that money back to taxpayers? When you're dealing with a budget surplus like that, what is that like? What are those conversations like, Michael?
You have to decide whether that's the last year or two, especially with the income tax, whether those are outliers, is this something that we are going to continue to project? If we do conservative budgeting, are we going to have surpluses? Should we not be as conservative in our budgeting so that everything aligns correctly? Sure, if this is going to be a consistent, continual, surplus, then yes, we should consider reducing taxes. If it's not, and that's what the county executive and her team are looking at to make sure, then we just have to continue to keep, the tax rate at $1.06 per hundred, and then figure, the best way to invest the dollars that we collect, back into Frederick County. There's a ton of need, with school construction and roads and water and sewer. And I mean, it, law enforcement and fire rescue, the list goes on as to what, the financial needs of the county are. So I do know that, that Rick Harcum and the county executive's team are looking at this. It's not a good thing to have $74 million surplus.
Dr. Terry Albin drew headlines weeks ago when she got a pretty nice package to leave amid a lot of controversy with seclusion and restraint investigated by the Department of Justice. Reports are she got in excess of $1 million to leave the school district. What are your thoughts about that as a parent looking on the outside, looking in? And I mean, you know how much money we spend on the school district. What were your thoughts when you heard about Dr. Albin's, what they're calling the golden parachute?
Well, that was negotiated when she was hired. That's what people don't realize. if you want to blame somebody, then you blame who provided that contract. And I don't know who in the school board voted to provide that to her, but people that I've talked to in the corporate world, for CEOs and CFOs, and this is really nothing unusual. It's kind of disheartening to think that somebody, you know, is going to walk away with, you know, however much, you know, whether you call it a golden parachute or not. But this was perfectly within her right contractually to leave in the way she left and to be compensated. This was nothing that was negotiated months ago. This was negotiated when 10 years ago when she was hired.
Are we going to see even more money invested into the school district this year than we did last year?
I'm not sure of that. I have not seen the total ask from the school board. You can only assume with the Department of Justice report and with the restraint issues, whether or not we're going to have cameras in the rooms. I mean, none of that's going to be inexpensive. Additional training, whatever the Department of Justice has recommended, is not going to come without a price tag.
Yeah.
So, you know, just that part alone, we're going to see increases, I think, in funding to the Frederick County Public School System.
Would you be open to having cameras in a school room? Do you think that's appropriate?
I think that's appropriate, yes.
What were your thoughts when you heard about the seclusion and restraint reports when they came out, Mike?
I was disappointed. I can't imagine if it was my child that, you know, was put in a room or secluded like that and restrained like that. And, you know, whether we're talking about special needs children or not, or it has to be something that is handled better than we've done. Obviously, there's been complaints, and those complaints, I think, have been going on for years from what we're finding out now. And how this wasn't corrected or at least addressed before our Department of Justice had to get involved is beyond comprehension. I really cannot believe that more members of the school board were not aware of what was going on and didn't try to do something to correct this before it got to this point.
Do you think Brad Young knew?
I don't know. I think there's more members of that school board that knew something. Whether they knew enough, I mean, even if you got wind of something like this happening, it is your responsibility to investigate it and shed light on it. And whether he knew or not, I can't answer that. But somebody had to know more than what they're saying they knew.
Talking to Michael Blue, Frederick County Council member, great conversation right here on the 4-State Focus Show. Always enjoy catching up with Michael. Let's talk about the budget. It's an arduous task to negotiate this thing, isn't it, Michael? You've sat down with County Executive Jan Gardner for an hour recently. What was that conversation like?
It went very well. All of the council members have the opportunity to sit down with the county executive and express our concerns, have our, you know, requests at least listened to. And we all have priorities. I mean, all of us on the council understand what has to be funded, and 80-90% of the budget we have no direction over. I mean, it's going to reoccur every year. Where we have discretion is in certain other areas. You know, my concern is law enforcement, fire rescue, our EMTs, our firefighters, our volunteer firefighting companies are really taking a hit with the cost of energy. We talked about a number of priorities that are my specific priorities. The airport, we talked about 50. Which, you know, is looking to expand, and it was a good conversation. It's something that I hope all of our council members take advantage of, because it really gives you an opportunity to express your concerns and your issues that you see going forward for the next budget. And, you know, the budget is one of the most important things that we do as legislators and as, you know, the county executive. I mean, this is a big deal every year to sit down and put together this budget.
One of the things that some residents on the right, of course, are saying about Kai Hagan and Jessica Fitzwater is that they're trying to take the county too far left with some of these climate initiatives. As you know, Mike, some of these things are really, really expensive. It's really expensive to go green, to get electric charging stations. What are your thoughts on the climate initiatives that have been put forth by Hagan and Fitzwater?
Well, I haven't supported any of them so far, and I expressed concern this past summer about the expense. Not only, you know, if you want to call the federal New Green Deal or the state level's initiatives that they're trying or tried last year to get through, every one of them has an expensive price tag attached to it. So, you know, their argument is, well, it's going to cost more if we don't do something now. You know, and I said this a month ago. You know, I understand that, you know, the state of Maryland is mandating us to reach certain goals and certain levels. And so we are going to have to spend some money to obtain those and reach those goals. But to go as far as some of the council members that you just mentioned, Kai Hagan and Jessica Fitzwater, that I can't see. I just don't see how the county is going to be able to afford to do that.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, it is now illegal in Frederick County to release a helium balloon into the atmosphere. Is that too much?
Well, I didn't agree with it a few years ago or when that passed. But, yeah, I think that goes too far. And I don't think that that's something that, you know, I just don't see that as us spending productive time on. That's all. It's just, I think it's completely different points of view.
Yeah, we have 2.5 more minutes, and I really appreciate your time as always. Great catching up with you. Let's talk about police accountability, because that is the gorilla, the 900-pound gorilla in the room. I mean, people are talking about it. It's a mandate from Annapolis. And like I told you before we went on the air, I don't think that police accountability would be an issue had George Floyd not been murdered, but he was. So we're dealing with it. Talk to us about what your thoughts are and what are some of your concerns, Mike?
Well, I agree. I think if we didn't have, you know, the unfortunate deaths that have occurred over the last year or two, and if there wasn't this push to defund police, that I don't think we would have be dealing with this police accountability board. But it's here. It's state mandated, so every county is going to have it in place. I think that we're going to do the best we can, especially involving, you know, the sheriff and all the chiefs and of the municipalities in our county. They have been instrumental. All the mayors, Burgesses, a lot of input to come up with the actual specific number. There are requirements that are mandated by the state as to who and how and who serves on this board. I think it's a complete waste of time to even have this. I didn't support it when it was going through Annapolis. So, but it's in front of us now, so we're going to have to, you know, make the best of it and see, you know, if it's going to protect our law enforcement as well as the citizens, then it'll work. If it's not, if it's going to be one-sided or the other, then it's going to be an absolute mess.
Michael Hughes, the race chief equity officer in the county, kind of hired by surprise from North Carolina. Is he going to stick around, do you know?
I haven't heard otherwise. I think he's going to stick around. We're going to have to see what happens with this next election. I mean, his position is codified, so he's here.
Yeah.
His position is here. He's not serving at the, you know, at the discretion of the county executive. So, you know, if he's able to put together the proper training and you know, throughout our departments, then I think that, you know, it'll be a benefit for the county. So let's just wait and see. And he's been here a year, and we'll see what happens.
We did hear that he did spend six figures on a survey, though. He brought in an outside agency. What can you tell us about this? This is apparently some ongoing survey that a consulting firm is doing.
Well, I heard that the consulting firm was hired to do this survey before he was hired. I don't understand it. Yeah, I don't understand it to be that Michael Hughes was the one that contracted that. I thought the county executive did that in advance of his hiring. I do not know what it cost, so I can't speak to that.
All right, Michael Blue, thank you very much. I'm getting my Michaels mixed up, but hey, Michael Blue, thank you so much. I appreciate you. As always, good catching up with you. We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Michael Blue on the 4 State Focus Show right here on WFMD and WFRE.